And welcome to another episode of Unearthing Paranormalcy. I'm Amy.
I'm Dave.
I'm Chad.
And we have special guest
Eli.
And we are today going to talk about some more personal stories, but we have personal stories from friends and listeners this time.
Ooh.
So we're going to tell some of their spooky stories, their ghost stories, their paranormal stories. I don't know. Does anybody have any alien stories? Or are we all ghosts and hauntings?
I'm not allowed to speak of them. FBI keeps me from doing that.
Reptilians.
Not since the accident.
Oh, mine are all hauntings. So, well, since we have a special guest here, Eli, why don't you start with your first story?
Alrighty.
Do it.
All right. So in Shreveport, Louisiana, there is a school on a road that's called Old Ellerby Road Middle School. It was around back in the 1960s. It was mainly a middle school for unprivileged kids. So usually it was, there weren't a lot of kids there. I'll put it like that. But in 1971, it was burned down. And shortly after that, it was a popular visit for the young teens around to go and look for ghosts.
And do other 70s-related activities.
Exactly.
I was thinking more of like toking it up a little bit, but you know.
Well, I was too, but there's
I'm sure there was some bow chicka wow wow going on while toking up.
I'm sorry.
Bow chicka wow wow, dude.
Much better.
Much better, much better. So in 2006, I was 16 years old. A group of friends and I, it was actually October 30th because we were going to go the 31st, but everybody was like, that's too close. So we all get in a car and we start heading down there. It was me, my friend, my girlfriend, and his girlfriend. And we were going down there mainly to scare the crap out of our girlfriends, but it didn't work because we ended up being the ones scared. So we didn't look very tough. But we're heading down, and as we're getting closer to the school, there was just enough moonlight to actually see the school in the distance. And as we get closer, you can kind of see like a light in the window. And it caught my eye more than it caught my friends. And I just remember pointing over there and going, look at that light. And the girls were in the back and they're laughing and we're playing music, so nobody could really hear me. When we got within a short distance of the school, our car, the radio mainly, started to kind of like fuzz out. So we're like immediately like, this is already kind of weird. And then our car turns off. And immediately I'm like, this is kind of weird. So I start talking to my buddy next to me and he's just like trying to turn it over, trying to turn it over. And we start seeing the light flicker. And at that time, I got to the point of, like, can we just leave this vehicle and run? Cause, I'm not one for, messing around with paranormal. So my buddy keeps trying to turn it on. And it got to where the radio turned back on and all you kind of heard was like white noise, mainly static. And it lasted for about 5 or 10 minutes, and then after that, he tried it again, and the car turned over, turned around, and went back. We heard a lot more stories.
So what you're telling me is you just ended up founding an FBI black site that used an EMP to kill your car and your radio.
Exactly. I actually tried to make all kinds of excuses as well, more so over the fact that I wasn't scared, but I was terrified. When we got back to school on Monday, we had talked to a few friends of ours and we're like, yeah, we don't mess around with that place. Cause I mean, there's more than just ghost stories going on there. A lot of people use it for, demonic sites, mainly like, rituals and stuff like that.
You can go, like my kind of people.
Yeah. Metal, very metal. And it kind of was one of those situations where I wish I'd never gone, but you know, an experience is an experience, and it's daunting to actually realize that you know you were that close to that that situation. But when I did more research, because I actually didn't do any research before I went there, and I wish I had, because if I had, I wouldn't have never gone in the first place. Apparently, the school was burnt down. The facts say on the interweb that it was just burnt down due to like electrical or something like that. The talk around Norman, especially people who were
around Norman.
Sorry, around Shreveport. Apologies. Talk around Shreveport, mainly with the people that were around back then, said that it was burnt down by the school janitor, and it kind of got a little darker.
I'm thinking like some Freddy Krueger stuff going on there.
Yeah. got a little darker. So not even legend has it. People say that the school was burned down due to the fact of hiding certain secrets that the janitor did not want found out, mainly to do with disappearance of children. It was an all-black school. There were no white kids. It was very segregated back then. And the gentleman who I talked to, there was between 15 to 20 kids that had gone missing within a year, and they were never found. When the school was burned down, people went in to kind of like figure out what the hell happened. And they just they figured out that, you know, it was not electrical. It was meant to be, you know, fire was started on purpose. And then 3 days later, they found the janitor had killed himself. I actually, about 6 months ago, 7 months ago, went back and did a little bit of research myself, a little bit more personal accounts. And one of them was pretty crazy. There was a group of guys doing the same thing, trying to go there and just do their own little research type deal, ghost stories. And they had went there, and about 15 to 20 minutes while being there, they started to hear sounds, giggling. One heard a scream, you know, everything like that. And then they started to walk away from it. They had brought one of the gentlemen had brought his niece. His niece was around 8 or 10 years old. She was very young. And he remembers seeing in the distance a white pickup truck driving down the road. There was nothing going in that direction at all. The road had actually since been blocked off, and there was no reason for anybody to go down that road at all. So he speculated that it was the janitor, and honestly, after hearing his story, it kind of sounds like that as well. It's pretty spooky.
So it is kind of along the lines of the Freddy Krueger.
It
was not the parents that burnt the janitor. That was the janitor himself.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was.
Dun, dun, we don't dun. Know.
Now it makes me want to go to the school and dig up the basement.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. It's one of those things where, I mean, even if you asked me to go today, I wouldn't.
Just you want
to
go?
No, not really, man.
Damn. You and I will go.
Yeah, we'll go. I mean, I'll probably chicken out before we get there, but I'm down.
Oh, Shreveport's what, maybe 6 hours from here?
It's actually 14 hours away.
Really?
Yeah. Wait. I might be wrong on that. It's closer to 10 hours.
I say it's closer than Houston, isn't it?
All I know is from here to San Antonio is 7 hours, and then from San... Oh, I guess it might be less than
that. I don't know.
Whatever.
It's 8 hours to Houston from here, so I was thinking you would go the other direction, but I don't know. Yeah. I've actually never been to Shreveport, so I've
never been to...
I've been
Louisiana,
to
Louisiana. So.
I've been to Nolens.
Nolens.
I've been to Nolens.
That's a spooky spot too. I tell you what.
I was.
Not too. What?
I was 16 when I went to New Orleans, and
sounds like a good age.
It was me and all the band nerds.
Nerd.
Orchestra nerds. We were all there together for a contest. And we got to roam the French Quarter alone, unchaperoned.
That sounds terrible. Or dangerous.
Yeah, it sounds very problematic.
We got chased by a hobo.
And only four. And the coolest thing is only four kids returned. Oh.
I think we all made it back. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we did. I think one group got mugged.
Wow.
And I think out of like 300 kids, only one group getting mugged was pretty darn good in New Orleans.
That sounds like a pretty good day in New Orleans. Yeah.
And
it was because they ventured off where they weren't supposed to go. You know, we were supposed to stay kind of around Jackson Square and all that stuff and not venture too far out on lone streets. And so we
that's the thing with those tourist cities. Really, the police force only patrols where the tourists are. Like in Las Vegas, you go to Vegas, don't get off the strip. Yep. There's no police force anywhere else in that city but right on the strip.
And then we went to Bubba Gump Shrimp Company and had lunch. And
love that place.
They thought we were all 21 and they wanted to give us drinks. And we're like, this would be awesome, but no, we're like 16. They're like, really?
Why do you argue?
Because we were band nerds.
You just go, yes, please. Yes, sir. May I have some more?
Just gonna throw a smasher club. Another.
But yes, that was a great place to eat.
Yeah.
And then we went into Hooters to get t-shirts.
Nice.
And then we went, I don't know, we went everywhere.
Because nothing says I'm a cool band nerd like a Hooters t-shirt.
Was it signed, though?
No.
Ah, damn.
No. It was actually all girls. We just thought it'd be cool if we all had shirts that said Hooters.
Nice.
I don't know.
I miss that old 16-year-old humor.
Yeah. It was funny to us.
Chad, you like to chime in on that one?
I still have that kind of humor. I don't know what you're talking about.
That's Chad's purpose of the podcast, is to bring that humor to the table.
I had a friend who wore a Hooters shirt the first day of ninth grade, and we called him Hooters until the day we graduated.
He probably loved it.
Oh, he did.
I don't know if you guys have ever had a birthday at Hooters. Personally, I wouldn't suggest it. 12 years old, they had me ride around the restaurant on a wooden horse. Little stick horse. It was not fun. Grown man going, ha, ha, ha. I'm like.
See, Dave went to the Hooters in Vegas.
No, I never went there.
I thought you came back with pictures from.
The hotel we were staying at was being renovated to become the Hooters Hotel. Mm. But we were staying at the San Remo Hotel or something like that.
Personally, I would like to have a, Hooters Hotel, like, do they have Hooters downstairs, or?
Well, at the time, they were doing the renovations.
So say, Hooters still room service sounds pretty dope.
Yeah. They got wings? No? I mean,
as long as the waitresses are still there, and they're the ones who bring you food. But that just sounds like bad things would happen.
Yeah, I would think bad. He would, like, every girl would have to have a bouncer with her.
Yeah.
Well, probably. I mean, there's cocktail waitresses all over the place.
Yes, and they're usually not sent up to hotel rooms solo.
Yeah.
That would be the thing, is the waitresses bringing it up to the hotel rooms for room service.
Oh, yeah.
Here's your pizza.
They usually have bellhops doing, so they usually have the men doing stuff like that anyway.
It's kind of dangerous for the lone women.
Yeah.
All right, so our next story, let's go to, I'd say Chad, but Chad brought his stories with him in the form of Eli.
Hello.
So, Dave, let's give your first story.
Long ago, when I was just a young boy. Oh.
Long, long ago.
In a galaxy far away.
We'll just sing Star Wars.
In a really weird, like, Motown style. Let's go.
All right, Dave, you look like you're ready.
My friend and the guy she was traveling with down old Highway 81 here in Oklahoma got a flat tire. As he was taking the lug nuts off of the flat one, my friend got the spare out and laid it down on its side at the back of the car. Then she went around to help him jack it up and to pull the flat tire off. Because in these old cars, it was a two-man job. I mean, a tire weighed like 60 pounds, you know. Now, once they were ready for the spare tire, they went to retrieve it, and it was missing. It was just gone. They looked all around for a good while, but couldn't find it anywhere. And after this, there was only one option, and that was calling for help. But this was long before cell phones. So, they had to walk to nearby farmhouses to find someone home. And on the walk, they looked in the bar ditches as they went. You know, just in case it was laid down on its side, it rolled away, but I don't know why she would have laid it like that. They finally found somebody home, and they made the call to her dad, and he came and picked them up, and they all three drove, probably a mile or two up the road on either side looking for it, and they never found that spare tire.
Hmm.
Rolling.
My thought is, where is Highway 85 compared to Tribby?
Highway 81.
Or 81, sorry.
Highway 81 is west of Norman.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say it goes from San Antonio all the way up to North Dakota.
So west of Norman, so like towards Chickasha?
Yeah.
All right. I was wondering if it was one of our Stikini or our Wolfmen, you know, out there in Tribby or Seminole, you know, needing a tire.
There's a movie on Netflix, kind of the same caliber as Sharknado, that has to deal with a killer tire.
I think I saw that. I was showing them that.
It is the worst movie ever, but for some reason I couldn't stop watching. And I showed them the trailer's like 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's nothing, like half of it's just the tire rolling down the road, and then it starts blowing shit up. So Highway 81 is between Tuttle and Chickasha.
Okay, so it's on the other side.
Or between Chickasha and Minco.
Okay.
That's awesome.
But yes, it's Rubber.
Rubber. That's what it is.
It's definitely not an area we've covered in the state.
Yeah, I wonder if there's any spooky ookies in that area that we need to look into.
Which I don't know.
Obviously a tire thief.
There is a tire thief.
I don't even know if that
Invisible tire thief.
Do you remember when we were kids, we were watching World's Dumbest Criminals? This is what it made me think of. Because there was like these two Hispanic guys walking down the street pushing a tire.
Yeah, they're rolling a tire down the side
and
of the road.
The cop goes, where'd you get that tire from? Because there's like a tire shop down the road.
Yeah.
And they're like, he doesn't speak English. I was like, so do you know where he got the tire? I'm just helping him. He's like, no, he doesn't speak English.
Where-o get o tire-o.
He said, well, can you ask him in Spanish? And he said, where-o get o tire-o. And the cop was like, that's the strangest dialect I've ever heard. That is what that made me think of that one. It's like, it's just pushing the tire down the road. Where-o get o tire-o. I think that was in like San Antonio or something like that. But yeah, there's got to be some good stories that direction too. You got Chickasha, you got Ninica, Amber. Man, oh, you got Anadarko over that way. Anadarko is Indian City. Bet you there's some awesome stuff that happens at Indian City. Indian City itself is pretty awesome. Yeah, well, that's Anadarko in general.
It's like the meth capital of Oklahoma.
El Reno's on this map.
Yeah.
Or on that highway, I mean.
And El Reno has the Chicken Man.
Yeah.
that's why I know what El Reno is.
All right, you hear Chicken Man, right?
Yeah.
What are you visualizing?
I'm visualizing the chicken from Family Guy.
All right, yeah. See, I think, there's going to be this awesome, like,
half
human
man,
chicken,
half chicken,
right?
Thing, yeah.
It's
yeah.
Bigfoot. I'm like, how come you give me that name? I was like, how do you give me that name? And then it's just like, get all amped up for it. And then you just give me a Bigfoot. Like, oh. Yeah, see, still angry about that one. 24 episodes in, and I'm still upset about the Chicken Man. All right, my first story comes from Brianna. When I was 13 or 14, my parents had a house built on some land that my stepmom owned. We all had our own rooms and a guest bedroom to spare. So I had this beaded curtain hanging off my door, and just against the wall it was adjacent to. My bed was in front of that and my desk. I was asleep on my bed one night, and I remember waking up to something, but I wasn't sure what. I slept with my bedroom door open and the bathroom light on, because at that time, I was afraid of the dark. Anyways, I'm trying to figure out what woke me up when my eyes are drawn to my beaded curtain parting by itself, and suddenly, I'm being held down on my bed, being choked and growled and cursed at by God knows what. And the only thing that I can think to do is to pray, and then the thing went away. And I was about unconscious when it finally did. The beaded curtains came down that night. All right, a few months later, I was laying in bed and trying to fall asleep when my Guitar Hero guitar, it has a blue light on it that lights up when it's connected to the PlayStation, and it lit up. I'm not using it, nor is the PlayStation on. I get up and turn on my laptop to make sure that... No, I get up and turn on my lamp to make sure that the switch is off. It is. So I go back and lay down, thinking I'm being a sissy. No sooner do I lay down and get comfortable than it lights up again. Or I get up a little quicker this time, switching the lamp on and looking at it. Still, it's off. So for good measure, I pull out the batteries. It's definitely not going to light up then, right? Ha! I laid back down, switched off my lamp, get comfortable. Once again, the guitar lights up. I was terrified. I stuffed the guitar back into my closet and never used it again. Not even a week later, I was asleep on my bed dreaming. In this dream, I was in my room, and it was just like it was when I fell asleep. The only difference was in front of my dresser vanity, pointing at the mirror, was what only I could describe as a demon. It was translucent skinned and had absolutely no face. I knew right then that this was what had been messing with me. Again, I was terrified. But I never saw it again after that.
Wow.
For a 13 or 14 year old to experience that, that's
pretty terrifying.
Terrifying.
The
being held down, you could associate with night terrors.
Yeah, night terrors.
You could, but she wasn't asleep.
But she wasn't asleep. Well, she doesn't think she was asleep. A lot of times people with night terrors don't realize that they are asleep.
Yeah.
Oh.
But the beaded curtains parting. I had beaded curtains, and my beaded curtains would move on their own from time to time, but it was more of somebody walked past the door, or the air conditioner kicked on or whatnot.
Yeah.
Never parted.
Oh, my.
But we're talking a brand new house, so whatever it is either attached to the land or something in the house.
Being built on
stuff.
Could
have been something in her house, like a furniture or something, too.
A piece of, That's crazy.
What she really doesn't know is her parents were downstairs doing a seance.
Yeah, using a Luigi board. Yeah,
a Luigi board.
A Luigi.
I always call it Luigi board.
Luigi board. I like it.
Yeah.
It's a me.
But back to the story. That was scary. Yeah.
It was definitely at 13, 14, if something like that happened, it would be terrifying. Now I was 13 or 14. And I had something. Not that scary happened to me, but it was at Dad's house. And I think I talked about it on our first personal stories episode about how I just felt like somebody was watching me from the window. And I ended up grabbing my Bible and like just sleeping with my Bible that night.
Because I was on the first personal episode. I was talking about staying in your room at Dad's and seeing someone walk up and down the hall, like the shadow of someone walk up and down the hallway underneath the door. And I could see like them crouching down and trying to look underneath the door and freaking me out.
Yeah, a lot of things happened at that house. There was a lot down that hallway.
It was that TV, is what I'm telling you.
Well, I'm trying to think. There's a lot of stuff that moved from house to house with that. But there was a lot around that TV in the living room. I don't know.
Once that TV got put in your room for a little while.
It was never in my room when I was in there. So.
Now, it wasn't one of the theories we talked about with that TV that it put off enough, that it put off energy to where it would draw in spirits
because it was a staticky TV, and I mean it was encased in a wooden box.
Also probably put off enough electromagnetic fields, EMFs.
Let's talk about
it.
This
was causing you to hear and feel things that weren't really there. So
this TV was high tech at the time. It had a phone built into it.
Oh my god.
Where you could like talk on the phone if you hooked your phone up to your TV. And like your remote was like a headset.
You can do that now through Bluetooth.
Yeah, well, this was pre-Bluetooth. this is pre-Bluetooth.
No,
this was back in like the 80s.
I do miss those old TVs where it was like intricate wood. I mean, it looked like a piece of furniture.
It was. It was a big piece
had
of furniture.
Little cabinets that closed on each side. Yeah.
It was nice not having to have a TV cabinet to put your TV in. Ours did have a cabinet, but inside the cabinet, it was like buttons.
Yeah, it was
TV
for the
phone.
Yeah, it had a TV phone.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
we thought we were pretty cool.
I don't think it actually ever worked, but we had
eight.
I had a black and white TV for a long time, too.
We had it plugged into our Sega. I sat there and played a lot of Sega.
Nice.
See, my first TV had little dials, you know, and if you wanted to watch a movie, you had to turn it to you. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, it sucks when you lose that dial. Yeah. Because I've done it.
You get pliers.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. We just kept it on I Love Lucy like 24/7.
Well, but what better TV to watch I Love Lucy on, right?
Exactly.
That's just what it was made for.
Then you can't tell if the show's black and white or it's a TV, and then you realize both.
All right, Eli, you got another one for us.
I actually have a personal story. It's about good old Guthrie, Oklahoma. And it actually reminds me of... a lot of stuff happened in that house. So when my parents bought the house, when I was 7 years old or so, it's on the trolley lane, which anybody from Guthrie or who's been to Guthrie and rode the trolley know that like the trolley lane just in general has a lot of history on it. Our house was owned by, the house next to us. The original owner of the homes owned both houses, and way, way back when they were first built, the owner had our house, which was basically a bar. Underneath there was a basement. And the next door was a brothel. Now, from what we've heard, or just naysayers and whatnot, the original owner of the house was killed by his wife, because his wife found out that he was sleeping with one of the brothel mates next door. So she went over there and killed the helper as well. And then later, my parents bought it for really cheap. The homeowner before us ended up passing away in there. She was died of old age. She was a widower. She was a widow, not a widower. So we move in. There was a lot of stuff in that home that was left there. They did an estate sale. A lot of the stuff that she had was sold. But we never thought to look in the basement or look in the attic to see if there's anything else there, because we didn't have a lot of stuff moving into that home. About 2 months into us living there, I kind of started to hear sounds. More whispers. It almost sounded like it was an old house. So, like, the stairs were all old and wooden. So, you know, you hear those creaks and cracks, and you're just like, ah, it's the stairs. But to a 7-year-old little boy watching TV downstairs, it was pretty scary. I specifically remember the stairs going up to the top floor, which had what they would call a master bathroom, a master bedroom, and then one room. And along the stair lines, or on the walls, we had pictures of my grandparents, my grandma specifically, my great-grandmother, and we had crosses. I grew up Mormon, so there was just a lot of Mormon memorabilia from the temples and then scriptures and whatnot. My mom was really adamant about putting crosses everywhere in the house just because she was very, very religious. Anyways, I remember whenever I was younger, we used to do the whole prayer thing at night, whatever, and we would send off in bed and it would be fine. Except one night, I woke up from a dead sleep and I could hear humming. It sounded like it was a TV that was on, so I got up and I went to the next room and went to see if the TV was on. TV was not on. When I got into that room, the humming stopped. So I walked back into my room and I laid back down. I was woken up again. I can't remember what time. It was still dark outside. It was around winter time. And I was woken up by a bang in the kitchen, where the kitchen was kind of catty-corny to me, to our wall. And then we had the laundry room that was like literally backing my bed. It was shut off by a door. And I was like, okay, something fell down in the kitchen. Well, I was like, I'm going to go ahead and use the restroom, get a glass of water, and go back to bed. When I get in there, nothing's on the floor, because it sounded like it, you know, whenever it hits the floor, you can hear that kind of like thud. Like, you know, it's like the floor, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And nothing was on the floor. It sounded like there was glass breaking and there was no glass on the floor or anything like that. So I go around and go back to bed. Didn't get a lot of sleep that night, but the sleep that I did get, I specifically remember a dream. And the dream goes basically like, it was like black and white picture or whatever. And you're not actually like, I wasn't actually in that dream, like being a person or whatnot. It was just like third person view. And it was like a flight coming in, and like there were reporters there and they were taking photos and whatnot. And, everybody like eventually just looked up at the moon and started taking photos of the moon, and the moon splits into two, one being white, one being like red. And it was black and white. So like that red moon really popped out of that black and white area. And from that red moon came down this, what I can only describe as like something demonic. It had to be something demonic, because there was no other way to describe it. It had a face. It came down, and when it finally reached the ground, it killed somebody that was there. And then they all start running, and then it looked at me, and that's when I woke up. Now, when I was 7 and 8 years old, I used to tuck myself in. I used to take, like, from my feet all the way up to my shoulders, I would tuck myself in my blanket or whatever. And when I woke up from that dream, I could not move. I could not move. I didn't look at the clock. I didn't look left or right. I could only look up. And it scared the ever-living shit out of me. And still to this day, that story gives me chills, because it was probably the closest thing to being scared out of my mind that I've ever had. The next morning, I talked to my mom about that dream and that story. And she was like, oh, it'll be fine. You know, bad dreams just happen. And I've never had sleep paralysis ever. And that, like, when people talk to me about having sleep paralysis, not being able to move, it, feeling like there's weight on your chest and whatnot, like, I felt that. But I was awake, and I know I was awake whenever I woke up. About 3 or 4 days later, I hear kind of like whispers in my ear, and it wakes me up. I get up, and I walk to the room because I think my mom's up, whenever just seeing what she was doing. And it was late because I knew if I got up and walked in there, I'd get my butt spanked because I wasn't supposed to be up this late, you know. And I walk in there anyways, and no one's in there. I turn around, and it's almost as if a shadow walks by the hallway. And the way our hallway was is there was a room that separated cabinets and a bathroom. And this side was the left side was the kitchen. The right side was the second living room. And then we had, like, the wall furnace and stuff like that. And the wall furnace was on, so I was like, okay, somebody, like, walked towards my room. Like, that's the only thing that would explain a shadow. So I walk in my room, and no one's there. So I'm, like, already scared. So I had already been in trouble multiple times throughout the year by going upstairs and going, Mom, 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 there's something in the house. Okay? Some of those were, like, little kids being like, okay, I want to sleep with my mom. You know, 7 years old, 8 years old, everybody had that thing. So I was going to do that. So I went back downstairs, and I had a big problem with, like, leaving my light on to make sure, like, there was nothing underneath my bed. There's nothing in my closet. The worst fact of the matter is that the room that I was sleeping in, it was a converted room. It used to be a sunroom, and underneath my room was the basement. We never went down in the basement up until that point in that area, which kind of, now that I look back at it, seems kind of weird due to the fact that, you know, when you're putting new carpet down and whatnot, you would want to see what was underneath your son's room type deal. But we never went, we didn't end up going down there until a few days later. That night I didn't go to sleep. I stayed up. But ultimately, we had situations where the crosses on the deal would be, like, pulled off the wall. There was a photo of my great-grandmother who, 4 months prior to all this, had passed away in the house due to old age. She had all kinds of health problems. Her photo was smashed. Shortly after that, we had a missionary from the Mormon Church come in and bless the home. And after that, everything kind of seemed to go away. I think it was more so of, like, the comfortability of, like, having somebody do something about it, you know, mm-hmm. because praying wasn't helping, reading wasn't helping.
There's definitely something about that empowerment and knowing that. So I don't think it really even matters what religion you are.
Exactly.
If you have a priest come in, or if, like, you know, when we go and do cleansings, things like that, just the peace of mind that somebody else listened enough to help you to have the power to take over.
Yeah. My mom always talked about the armor of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was always huge. Cause I'd only use the words not multiple times. The one time where it was like, by the power of God, leave this house or something mm-hmm. like that. And it was almost immediately a feeling of, like, relief.
Yeah.
More so of the fact that you had the power to do that, but through, divine spirit.
It's all about being alpha in your home. If your house is haunted, you got to be the alpha. You got to tell the ghost to just back the fuck down.
They can do whatever they want. I'm fine.
You can you should just, like, bite the ghost ear. You know, be the alpha dog.
Yeah.
I learned that in 8 Below, everybody. Yeah.
Chad over there, he just has him come in and stare at him while he sleeps and try to kiss him.
Yeah.
Oh,
I
don't know if he's gonna
try to kiss me, but I heard had that one story. Lean over and stare at me, and I was staring back at it for a second. Went, I'm going back to bed. Squint my eyes as hard as I could, woke up, it was gone.
Well, you know, you hear stories about people doing that, and you're always like, how would you just be able to lay there and go back to sleep? I've done that too. Like, the scariest shit.
It's a dream. It's a dream.
Yeah,
you just
convince yourself that it's not real, and then you relive it later on. And you're like, that was stupid.
You go. Well, either
if that was somebody trying to kill me, I would have just been laying there.
It's like either I'm dead right now and I'm in purgatory.
Chad, it's hell. We're going to hell. Okay.
Well, this definitely isn't hell.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
This isn't. I'd prefer hell. No.
So what's interesting to me is the fact that you guys never checked this basement. Because for me, if I had a house with a basement, I probably would live in the basement.
My bedroom would be the basement.
Yeah.
Or as Chad would call it, the sex dungeon.
To me, basements are awesome. But I've never lived in a house with a basement. So.
Yeah.
I had one in the Noble House. It was more of a storm shelter, but in a basement. It was real where you just smoked our weed. But
and you went and hid out for tornadoes.
Once. Whether well,
now it's never.
A lot of people were there. Me and my roommate who lived there were actually just standing in the kitchen.
Because there was no room, there was no room in the basement. That was before we all got our storm shelters. See, yeah. We all got smart and we all had gotten storm shelters installed after that. So, yeah.
Yeah, for a 7-8-year-old, it wasn't a apparent. Yeah.
Kind of like that Home Alone thing, you know, the basement, the furnace that.
Yeah.
Sorry, this has nothing to do with paranormal, but have you guys seen the new Google?
Yes, that is hilarious. I
Macaulay
love it.
Macaulay Culkin, Home Alone again. Gosh, oh, it was so good. Great.
His voice never changed.
No.
He sounds exactly the same. He actually looks the healthiest he's looked in a long time, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there was something that was like.
He was
there was a meme about it, but it was just like. I can't remember what all it said. It said some couple things, and it was like, but create or made your life great again, or something like that. Or it's a better life now, or something like that. It was a picture of the new Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
I was like, that's good, because he looked really rough for a while.
Yeah, he got arrested here in Oklahoma for carrying pot. I don't know what it was. Yeah.
Stupid which Oklahoma.
Not, which is not that bad.
No.
This is the last place you want to be caught with weed.
Yeah. Well, now it's legalized if you have a medical license and stuff. But I haven't gotten mine yet.
Which I've heard is actually harder than people thought it would be in Oklahoma.
It doesn't surprise me. Yeah. They're going to make you jump through every hoop you can. Well, and then they're going to go, look, it didn't make us any extra money. And we're going to say, well, it's because nobody can afford
I've
to get
one. I've
heard
a few people who went to the doctors to get prescribed and they tell them they have to wait another month and then go back and redo the evaluation. So
all these dispensaries are open and nobody has their licenses to get it yet. So everybody's going to get
shut
down.
Great.
Yeah, that sounds about as smart as Oklahoma can get. All right. So now on to Dave. What is your next story?
All right. This story, it centers around my family.
That's scary.
Dun, dun, dun.
So my father was an independent contractor. And when he would get large jobs, my brother and me would help him out on the weekends and nights after school. Well, we got a contract to paint the basement of a cathedral church in the town of Norman. At first, it was the usual, I feel like someone is watching me.
Which you usually have in a church.
Yeah. And that can be contributed to old wiring or symptoms of high EMF exposure. Then it turned into banging on the walls and doors, opening and slamming by themselves.
That was just the altar boys.
Which again, in an old building, isn't uncommon. It just is startling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my brother's girlfriend came with us one night just to hang out because she was missing him. She was at one of the tables in one of the classrooms in the basement. And my brother was horsing around with her. And he flipped off the light and pulled the door shut. And then from the other side, he heard her say, very funny. Get away from me. I feel you standing there. Ow, you're pulling my hair, you jackass. And my brother opened that door and flipped on that light. And they were both freaked out.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it started getting worse. My dad was on a ladder painting, and something just started shaking it violently, almost knocking him off of it. Now, me and my brother, we never saw this entity. But my dad said he saw her a few times as a middle-aged lady in a red dress.
Why is it that lady spirits are always either white or red dresses?
Yeah.
Or a lady
in gray.
I have
no idea. Yeah. But we were talking with a friend of the family who went to that church as a kid. And when she was a kid, the organ player always wore a red dress to church and played the organ. And that's the only person she could even think of that would be associated with
it. Well, and that church is known for its organs. It's got like the most gorgeous, huge pipe organ. My kids have gone to daycare there, and that's the basement part is where the daycare is.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was then, too.
I can't say that there's like an eerie feeling, but yeah, when there's nobody in the hallways, like when I'm going to pick him up in his nap time and like all the rooms are silent, and you're walking through this hallway, it's a little bit eerie. But yeah, I've definitely heard you tell me those stories about the basement down there. I now remember the one with your brother and his girlfriend with the hair being pulled, though.
Yeah.
That would freak me out.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I would go back.
She didn't come
back
to visit.
Yeah.
I mean, we filled the contract, and I mean, we refused any future ones from them.
Yeah. Well, because there's somebody trying to kill you in there.
Yeah. But, I mean, I never had any personal experiences with it other than, you know, having that feeling of being watched, and then,
yeah,
you know, I'd hear the doors banging around, but...
It's a big church. A lot of echoing.
Yeah.
All right, my next story is from Kim. Kim tells me a story about when her child was born. Now, her father had passed away right when she was pregnant. She said, I lost my dad while I was pregnant. We woke up one morning and there were footprints where neither my husband or I could have positioned over the crib. They were in a spot no human could really stand unless you were hovering over the crib. They weren't there the day prior. Also, on a strange night, our son wouldn't stop crying. I asked for the spirits to calm him just so I could make a bottle and get back to our room. I walked into our room and his bassinet was turned on and it was vibrating. He was just calm and looking up at the ceiling. Now, this one gave me chills because I experienced a lot of this with our daughter, because our dad also passed when I was pregnant. In fact, I found out the day after his funeral that I was pregnant. And after she was born, she would always kick her shoes off. Always. She's always kicking her shoes off. And I went to Cindy, that medium, that from episodes 1 and 2. And she told me a story about how my dad would tickle my daughter's feet at night. And I was like, I wonder if that's why she's kicking her shoes off, because grandpa's tickling her feet. And then I started thinking, my dad used to, that's how he would wake me up in the morning. He would come in and tickle my feet. And it pissed me off every freaking morning. And he got racked a few times because my reaction became to just kick. And so he'd come in and tickle my feet and I'd just kick. And there have been times that I've been laying in bed since he's passed that I start feeling tickles on my feet. And I, after that, I was like, okay, Dad, stop. Like, I don't do this. I don't tickle my feet. But then also, our daughter was probably about 18 months old. She wasn't quite 2 yet. I don't know if she was even 18 months old. She was just kind of starting to talk. And we had lost our, we had a boxer, and our boxer had passed away. And she used to talk about Maddie, the boxer, all the time. And she would talk about Papa Finch. And she said, there's Papa Finch. And she'd point over me. Every time I change her diaper, I'd always get, Papa Finch, Papa Finch. And she'd point, or Papa, Papa, and she'd point behind me. And this time, she said, Papa Finch has Maddie. And I said, oh, yeah? And she said, Maddie can't leave us. And I said, why? She said, don't worry about it. And then that was it. And like I said, she had just started learning to talk. So these were not, she was not using sentences yet.
Yeah.
And this were like full sentences that she was like saying. And it was like, I got chills from it, you know? It's like, okay, well, Maddie can't leave us. I don't wonder why Maddie can't leave us. But, and then, oh, what, music all the time.
Yeah.
Well, you're, I mean, there's, when your son was born, was it a beautiful boy?
Yeah, I had to have a C-section, and I was laying on the operating table, and we were sitting there talking to the nurses about how our daughter was named for my dad, and how our son was going to be named for Dave's dad. And, you know, he was actually being born on Dave's dad's birthday. And we were talking about all that stuff. And right as he was being born, all of a sudden the radio changed to Beautiful Boy by John Lennon. And the nurses and the doctors, the doctor even go, that was crazy. What timing was that? Yeah. You know? And so... then I start crying, you know, of course, because I know at that point that it's dad, because dad is always messing with radios with me. And, but yeah, those were some of the things that have happened with me and the kids. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. Kylie was big at pointing and saying, Papa, Papa, or talking to herself.
Now, I hear a lot of stories about children that see into the spirit world and stuff, and
I think some of it has to do, like, my opinion, like, I was about to say something like this, too. I think a lot of it has to do with that their minds haven't been closed off to the spirit realm. As you grow up, you're told that, you know, ghosts aren't real. You go to heaven or hell when you die. There's no other place, you know. So you start to close that part off in your mind. Whereas, like, mediums still have that connection. Yeah. But as a child, you're not, your mind hasn't shut it off yet, so you can see them and speak with them.
Well, I have a theory that what it is, I also feel like people who have had close death or near death experiences,
yeah,
can also see the other side a little bit easier. And I think it's because a child is so close to the other side because they've just come into the world.
Yeah.
That they still can recognize and see it and, you know, sense stuff from the other side. And as we get older, we get distance from it. And then, yeah, if you have a near-death experience or something of that nature, then you
brings you back to it.
And I think also the death of a really close loved one can bring you closer to it.
Yeah.
Because you have that connection with that loved one, and when they pass, part of you goes with them. And so I think that brings you a little closer.
Yeah.
When my dad passed away a few years ago, it was one of those situations where I was there whenever he took his last breath and whatnot. But when I went back home to Norman, it was almost as if it was like constant dreams of him.
Mm-hmm.
I had the same thing with my dad.
Yeah. And it was not like, you know, you're in a dream world. It was like memories being replayed over and over and over.
I had
and
a weird one. I think it was probably three to six months after. There's a point where me and my dad were building a new digging a new septic tank, and because it was my dad, he made us do it by hand with shovels.
That a boy.
But in the dream, it's me and him digging the hole, and then when we finish, it's his grave, and he just says, "You'll be okay." And then I woke up, but it was a memory, like actual memory, and then the ending would changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was. That actually creeped me out.
Yeah.
See, I had a really hard time with Dad's death because I felt like the choice was given to me on whether or not to incubate him and save him or just let him go. I felt like a lot of that was put over onto me, and I felt like I made the wrong choice. And I was really like, you know, what if we would have just incubated him? And then the doctor is telling me, you know, we don't know what kind of brain damage has been done. He's been without oxygen for a long time. There's no new, we don't know if he's going to actually ever wake up. And our stepmom said, "What do you think, Amy?" And I said, "I know Dad, if Dad was alive and a vegetable,
oh, he would,
he would come find a way to kill us."
I remember him saying clearly multiple times, if he ever gets to that point, just take him out back and shoot him. So.
Yeah. So I was like, he wouldn't be able to live a life like that. So the decision was made that we weren't going to try anymore. We were just going to let him go. But I was haunted with this idea that I, you know, made the wrong choice. And I would have continuous dreams of Dad, but I was his caretaker and he was a complete vegetable. He had like no short-term memory at all. And what had happened is in the dreams, Chad was the one who had died. And so Dad had like, in the dreams, Dad had like low like IQs. And I would have to tell him every like 15, 20 minutes that Chad died and then watch him break down into tears and just bawling. It would break my heart every time. And I had to do this over and over in the dream. And finally, I just came to the realization that this was Dad's way of showing me what it would have been like had we have kept him alive.
Yeah.
That there was brain damage done and that if we would have kept him alive, he would not have been able to function as a normal adult.
Here's two things. One's a jokey side. One, as you see, she was more upset about having to tell Dad that I had died than the fact that I'd actually died. Two, the seriousness of it. Because there's always, you know, death has to take somebody.
Yeah.
What about that was Dad showing you that if you had kept him alive, something would happen to me?
Yeah.
Bum, 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 bum.
I don't know. All I know is that I would have those dreams and I would wake up thinking that was the most fucked up dream I had ever had. And I would make me cry. I'd wake up in tears thinking about it. Then I had a really weird dream after he died where I was walking behind him down this hallway. And our dad always wore these really short baseball shorts, like super skin tight shorts. And then like sleeveless tanks ripped
homemade
off. Homemade sleeveless tanks.
All right.
This was his like working in the yard outfit. So he's wearing this and was walking down the hallway. And I'm talking to him, and he's not stopping. He just keeps walking, and he's not really answering me. I'm like, hey, dad. And it's this white hallway with doors on either side. Then, without stopping, he turns around and faces me and walks backwards. And he tosses me some keys. And he tosses me the keys and said, they're at your mom's house now. Or it's at your mom's house now. Turns around and walks off and disappears. And
we're still trying to figure out
what that was about. Because I feel like there was definitely something to that dream.
But we had a night, it's probably been a year ago, that we were supposed to have game night. And it ended up just being you, me, and Dave. And instead of playing games, we actually sat here and just tried to figure out what that dream meant.
Yeah.
We spent like 3 hours. Dave got a book out and was like the dream.
Dream journals, and stuff.
We tried to figure out what it was, but we couldn't figure out what it was. Because we definitely didn't get a car or anything from him. So.
Yeah, there was nothing at mom's house that I was aware of. Unless the ghost moved over there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, especially something that would need keys.
Yeah.
Because keys are very symbolic. I mean, not only
in multiple ways.
But a multiple ways because your family business, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It was really odd because, I remember it very vividly. And the fact that dad was wearing his shorts and his tank. I mean, that I'm sure that's exactly what dad wears in heaven.
I kind of wish we would have buried him in his shorts and his sleeveless tank. I think he probably would have preferred that over his jeans and a button down.
Yeah. Yeah. But he got buried with his fishing rod. That was the important part.
But yeah, no, that's awesome. He wore, I mean, like, thing like Daisy Duke height.
Oh, yeah, they were short and skin tight. Yeah.
That was his thing. He loved them. He gave me a few pairs, like, for swim shorts and stuff, and I would refuse to wear them. They just sat in my drawer for, like, 5 years.
Yeah, they're, like, halfway between, like, the hip and the knee, like, just, like, mid-thigh. I mean,
just far enough to cover the balls, but barely.
But yeah, not that on a high? Hot day.
That high?
Yeah.
Dude. It's one hell of a style.
I say there are some pictures on Facebook, I believe, of him wearing those. Because I think it was the 4th of July. I took some pictures out there with him.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, there is definitely that connection, I think, between children and the afterlife. And, especially of grandparents that passed. I feel like in fact, when we were driving home from the hospital... No, it wasn't after that. It was right after I took the pregnancy test. So it was after, because I had found out I was pregnant. I told mom, I said, well, I'm kind of pissed off now. And she's like, why? I said, because dad found out I was pregnant before I did. Because that was one thing he would always ask me. Are you pregnant yet? You pregnant yet? You pregnant yet? When can I have another grandkid? You know, it was like every time I saw him, that was his question. Well, it happened right after he passed away, so he never got to meet her. But I feel like he did get to meet her, and he got to, you know... He still watches her and helps her. And does anybody else have any other story? Do you have another one?
I have one from a coworker.
All right. Eli's got another story for us.
All righty. This is one of my coworkers named Robert. I'm just going to go ahead and read from... Yeah.
Go for it.
So I went to Florida at my grandfather's house about once a year for vacation. Every time I have been there, even when I lived there, there had always been the ghost that was in the hallway. The cool thing is that this person shows up in different forms of their life. So I woke up in the middle of the night, and I see this baby crawling in the hallway. The second time it happened, it was this little girl in a dress holding a little box in her hands. The third time was a full-grown woman in a Victorian-style dress holding the same box. It was the same woman, but the craziest thing is my aunt has seen the same thing. I asked him... how old he was whenever he saw these images. And he said, my age was 13 the first time, then 15. Then I was 18 when I lived there. The baby had to be probably between 1 or 2. The girl was 12 or 13. The woman was at least 35. He goes on and he goes, when my dad was a kid, he had Star Wars figures and he had the metal turret. And he remembers the metal turret being shoved off the table. I hate that. Shoved off the table. And when I lived there, I've seen small things like plates, silverware moved or flipped. So it's the woman or another person that has a poltergeist there. But I never saw another person, just the woman in stages of her life. I thought this was really interesting to hear, and it's kind of crazy that, I mean, we always think like same what we're talking about. We always think that the children are like very connected to that, you know, mm-hmm. that window. But it was crazy. He said that after he turned 18, he hadn't seen anything or anything like that. And this is a guy that was like really psychedelic in his right. in his eight, you know, in his younger years and whatnot. But well,
the crazy thing is, it sounds like the spirit was maybe showing him something he wouldn't be scared of. You know, when he was 13, if the show was 30, you know, 35-year-old woman, yeah. he probably would have been terrified. But seeing a little baby, and then when he's 16, seeing a little, you know, younger girl, and then when he's an adult, you know, seeing another adult, it's almost like it was showing, it was trying to
ease him into it.
Well, just yeah, trying to not scare him.
Yeah,
by showing something he wouldn't be like that scared of.
Yeah.
Ghost baby would terrify me.
It causes me to think about the layers of time. Like yeah. we were talking about in our...
That was our time shifts and... Time slips, yeah. Yeah, the layers of time where he was actually just seeing the same girl growing up, but she was in a different
because it's the exact same dimension. Hallways, exact same place, just...
Very possible the realities years. Had kind of collided a little bit and he was seeing her. As yeah. he got older, maybe he just... The time hasn't crossed over there anymore or something.
I'm very leery of ghost children. And this is because...
I think ghost children would scare me more than a ghost.
Exactly.
Adult.
Oh, yeah. Because I almost don't feel like ghost children would show themselves as much.
No.
And I feel like if you see a ghost child, it's probably...
An evil entity.
It's not a nice entity.
Yeah.
And it's just trying to lure you. Because what happens when you see a ghost child, you automatically have empathy
Aww.
For it. And, you know, you're like, oh, you know, you want to... take care of them, you know, it's that mothering instinct mm-hmm. comes in.
But I think a lot of that fear and everything comes from the way movies ghost children are portrayed in movies and TV shows.
I had a dream about a ghost child once, and it was this little girl that was standing on my bed asking me to help her. And she's like, help me, help me, help me, help me. And I woke up, and I could almost still feel her in the room. And I was like, I ain't helping you. Like, no. Like, I don't do ghost children.
You know what other spirits look like children? The fairies.
True.
Yep.
And the fairies, you got to be some careful with some fairies.
They're tricky.
They are. Mm-hmm. You don't make deals with them. Never make a deal with a djinn. And never make a deal with a fairy. We need to do like a whole fae episode.
Yeah, because I'm not actually very... familiar with that at all.
Basically, well, djinns in particular tend to come across are very
like genies.
Yeah, kind of a Rumpelstiltskin kind of thing is what I always picture in my head. Like I'll give you this great deal, but you're gonna have to pay for it.
I'll grant your three wishes.
Yeah,
there's a movie,
but
Wishmaster.
Yeah,
have you guys ever seen that
yeah.
movie? That
yeah.
is wow. Yeah, I'll make you the owner of the store. You're dead, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Wishmaster. Yeah, I saw all those when I was a kid.
Just never make deals with entities. I think that's just like the basic thing, because you never really know. Just don't make a deal with them. Yeah, don't sign any contracts. No.
I mean, I would sell my soul to the devil just because I'm a ginger and don't have a soul to sell.
He doesn't want your soul.
I'll give you $350. $350.
I can make you. This reminds me of there's a meme, and it's like, I want to be the greatest guitar player in the world. And Devil's like, oh, can't do that. I can make you the greatest bass player in the world. And guy's like, never mind. I'm good.
Well, that's going to do it for today. We want to thank everybody who gave us their stories. If you got your own personal stories, we'd love to hear them, and we'll do another personal stories episode with more listener stories, hopefully. And it doesn't have to be hauntings. It can be paranormal, aliens. It can be, if you've seen Bigfoot or if you've seen a dog man walking through Tribby carrying a machete or whatever else is out there.
Or if you've just seen something you just can't quite explain.
Oh, I completely forgot about that. Sorry.
I just listened to that episode again, so that's fresh in my head. Yeah, if you've got anything that's unexplained, you can always email us at umpnormalcy@gmail.com or DM us or message us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at UMP Normalcy. Chad still needs Twitter followers.
I'm lonely over
here. Still lonely over there on Twitter by himself.
Unless you specifically say you can use my name.
Yeah, you'll be anonymous.
Yeah, you'll be anonymous.
And we'll never give your last name or where you're from.
Oh, yeah, absolutely not.
And we won't ever tell you you're crazy because we don't know.
Because we're crazy ourselves.
Yeah,
so.
We're crazy. So
who are we to judge?
Oh, check out our Patreon page at UMP Normalcy. Or no, it's not that. It's check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/UMP Normalcy. We'd love it if you would donate. I need to edit some more stuff and put some more stuff out of there. We've got some stuff to put on there. Chad and I need to do another episode of Sabrina.
That means I have to watch 2 more episodes.
And we will come at you next week with a different topic. Until then,
keep digging.